Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Yeah, we were just talking at the break. If you want to hang out with us during the breaks, you can at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate everybody driving around Sacramento, in the greater Sacramento area, listening to us on ESPN 1320 AM. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app, or maybe you're a podcast listener.
And Kyle, while you're driving around, go to Jiffy Lube.
Stop at Jiffy Lube.
Stop at Jiffy Lube. Get your tires rotated. Have them check your headlights and your battery and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Windshield wipers. Download your $33 off coupon.
Hell yeah.
JiffyLube.com.
Do that.
There it is.
All right. Party on. Somebody asked at the break, would you rather have I forget how we got on the Josh Giddey topic.
It was, we got there because we were talking about Herb Jones. And
oh, yeah, why they wouldn't trade Herb Jones.
That made us think of what they got for Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso, of course, was traded for Josh Giddey.
Right.
Josh Giddey is now a small forward, power forward, point guard, and shooting guard for the Chicago Bulls with ridiculous nicknames.
So somebody asked if you'd rather have Josh Giddey or Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah.
And Pajemski was a good player last year. He's on the all-rookie team and all that jazz. But the ceiling with Giddey is just so much higher. Like, I think Pods is just kind of the player he's going to be. Like, I think we've seen it for the most part.
Yeah.
He'll get better just by virtue of being in the NBA, but I don't know that he doesn't play above the rim. He's not a great shooter. He's just like a solid player. I think he's going to have a long career, but Josh Giddey has a chance to be like an all-star.
Yeah, I totally agree. Josh Giddey, I mean, I don't know if he will ever reach all-star status because of his shooting issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're talking about a 6'8" point guard that rebounds really well.
Yeah, the ceiling is super high.
6.9 assists, 6.2 rebounds per game. Like, this is a very capable player. The problem he has is he shoots like 31% from three.
Mm-hmm.
If you can clean that up, like, I think he could be a very, very good, solid NBA player, a starter for a decade in the league.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same about Pajemski. And, again, Pajemski right now, he's shooting 24.7% from three.
Ooh.
He's shooting 38% from the field.
Yeah, it's been a problem.
Yeah, there's not.
Dude, he's not. Here's the deal. If he's not shooting, he's not an NBA player. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He doesn't. His go-to skill is like hustle, and he has a really good like basketball IQ. But if you're not shooting it and you're not being elite at something, I don't.
Yeah, not to be like horribly disrespectful to Pajemski, because I think he does have the ability. The player he is right now, like if Colby Jones was getting 24.9 minutes per game. Mm-hmm. I don't think the stats would look all that different between him and what we're seeing from Pajemski right now.
He's regressed a lot.
Yeah, he's
He was a better player last year, for sure.
He was.
We were talking about Tobias Harris before the break. I'm so fascinated by Tobias Harris because he's an all, like, we had the all-theory team, right? Who are the players? In theory, that's a good. Zion Williamson, in theory, is a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he just can't stay on the court. Tobias Harris fits that for me. Where in theory, Tobias Harris is big. He's like 6'8", good defender, can score it. But then you go watch Tobias Harris over the course of a playoff series, and you just walk away underwhelmed.
Yeah,
he's just insanely underwhelming. And so when you talk about him in the context of the Kings, because we got there, we're talking about the Nets and doing a fire sale, and would the Pistons do the same thing? It looked like they strategically signed some vets that they could trade for assets at this year's deadline. You go, all right, well, Tim Hardaway Jr., not that dude. I don't know that they want to trade Isaiah Stewart. I don't think they're trading Jalen Duren. So who's the other guy? Paul Reed is on their roster.
Oh, Malik Beasley.
Malik Beasley's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the Kings, it's like, man, Tobias Harris would fit. Like, they need another wing.
Yeah, I mean, just
at 20, what is he at? 25 million this year?
25 and a half and 26 and a half, something like that over the next 2 years. Yeah, I would say no.
I think I'd take him over Kyle Kuzma, though.
Probably, like the shorter term deal. And because you know what, you know, like Tobias Harris is, like he's carved out a really good career. He's a very consistent player.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be underwhelmed by what he, you know, basically by his...
Yeah, he's not bad. Overall. The ceiling, it feels like he fell short of his ceiling as a player.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good rebounder. He's a player that's just below all-star level for most of his career, though. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, for his career, he averages 16.2 points and 6.2 rebounds. Like, he's not a passer. Like, there are things that he doesn't do that, like, can annoy you, but, like, if you need a bucket... Like this, especially mid-range.
I also watched him play really good defense against Jalen Brunson in the playoffs last year. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just not going out there and chasing Tobias Harris really all that hard. I'm not giving up major assets.
No,
salary matching is fine, but I'm not giving up assets for him, especially at 32 years old.
And we also don't know if the Pistons are interested in trading any of these dudes.
No, it's very possible they aren't. Now, Isaiah Stewart is not playing a ton for them.
Dude.
I would take some beef stew.
I'd be so happy with beef stew.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those players that we talked about early, you know, coming into this season. Go get one of these guys. Talking about a guy, you know, last year shot 38.3% from three and 11.6 rebounds, you know.
And he's a dog.
31 minutes a game. Yeah, I like
You can play him next to Domantas Sabonis. You can play him as your backup five.
Yeah.
I have a question that you might know the answer to. Monty McNair wakes up one day and goes, I need Isaiah Stewart on this roster.
Okay.
Does he just pick up the phone and call the Pistons and go, hey, is Isaiah Stewart available? Or is it, hey, we'll give you X, Y, and Z for Isaiah Stewart? Do you call around to agents and say like, hey, is this guy available?
No, you don't go to agents. You go to the teams.
Got it. Okay.
You go to the teams. Like, you can have, you're not allowed to call somebody's agent and have that conversation. But the problem that you have at the NBA level is there's so much overlap. So, what you know, like Zach LaVine is a clutch guy. And who's the other one that we were just talking about that just, Brandon Ingram is a clutch guy. Well, De'Aaron Fox and Trey Lyles are also clutch guys. So
sure, you don't want that getting back.
You can have a conversation about De'Aaron Fox, and in that conversation, someone could say, "Hey, just FYI, you know, where are you guys at with Brandon Ingram?" Like the Kings aren't allowed to initiate those conversations, but it's not like those conversations aren't had. Like teams know who's available, and they know because there are more than one way to figure out without just calling a team and saying, "Hey, is so and so available?"
I see.
Yeah, when you go to make a trade, then it becomes like a one-on-one conversation or, you know, 2v2. Like there can be an assistant GM who does a lot of the groundwork and then it goes up to the next level. And then, you know, the general manager sort of puts finishing touches, says yes or no, then brings it to an ownership group and say, okay, what are we going to do here?
And that's I was shocked to learn. You and I were talking to somebody pregame before Kings game.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was this year or last year. We were talking to somebody. And they were talking about, they were telling us a story about a trade that had happened.
Okay.
And the amount of people involved in this story, in my brain, and it makes sense that it's not like this, but in my brain, here's how it goes. Monty McNair gets on the horn and he calls, who's the Pistons GM? They just hired a dude from Washington. Doesn't matter. Anyways, you look that up.
Trajan Langdon.
Thank you. Monty McNair calls him and goes, hey, is Isaiah Stewart available? Or pick a player. And he goes, sure. And Monty McNair goes, okay, we'll give you X, Y, and Z. And that guy goes, okay, I'm going to have to think about it. Let me call you back. Okay, great. Guy calls back and says, how about X, Y, Z, and A? Monty McNair says, well, we can't do X, Y, Z, and A. What about X, Y, Z, and C? I guess, okay. And that goes back and forth, and it's just the two guys.
Okay.
That's how it goes in my head But actually, that's not how it goes at all.
Sometimes it can go that way. But then the problem is that the agent is always informed that something is about to happen, which is how we got to, like, the conversation about DeMarcus Cousins the other day.
Yeah.
Where you know, you made the call, and then finally you called the agent and said, hey, we're about to trade DeMarcus to New Orleans. And his agent's like, no, you're not. And you're like, yes, we are. He's like, no, you're not. I'm going to block that. And you're like, what? So he called the Pelicans and said, you're not trading for DeMarcus. And they're like, we are. It's like, well, we're not signing there. And it's like, okay. So then the Pelicans call the Kings back and say, hey, he's not going to sign here. They're his agent saying he won't sign an extension. So we're not going to give up as much for him. So that's how it goes from two first round picks and Buddy Hield to one first round pick and one second round pick and Buddy Hield for DeMarcus Cousins. I think Tyreke Evans was, like, there was other players involved in that to match salary. I mean, it is complex.
Fascinating.
Hey, it's just like when we talk about, like, injury stuff. Like, when a team sends out an injury report, that thing can go through, like, 15 different sets of hands. Like, that goes to the GM, the assistant GM.
That's so crazy to me.
It goes to the business side. Well, like, not the business side, but upper management, and then it gets into the agent for language, and the agent can say, I want it to say procedure and not surgery. And you're like, but it is a surgery. I don't care. I want it to say procedure. And so it goes back and it gets reworked. Like, these are all things that happen. Like, eight people can touch like an injury report, like, update before it goes out.
Real quick, speaking of the injury report, I have an updated injury report for Kings Pelicans. No Kings news, nothing new.
Okay.
Devin Carter out, Isaiah Crawford and Mason Jones are both at the G League, and Trey Lyles is still out. Our guy Jeremiah Robinson Earl is out tonight.
Oh no.
With a non-COVID illness. But I do think it's interesting. You talk about, like, the injury report and it touching all these hands before it, the Pelicans specifically, Carlo Matkovich is listed as a, low back semicolon spasm. If you go up to Jordan Hawkins, it's lumbar spine semicolon annular fissure. What?
We're not going there.
The specificity is crazy.
We're not going there.
Oh, man. That's wild. I don't think I've ever seen something that specific before. It's usually like right heel, inflammation, right knee, bone bruise. These are some of the other things on there. Left rib, contusion. Right patella, tendinopathy. That doesn't sound good.
No.
That's Jason Tatum.
Yeah, the NBA definitely, like, they get more into injuries. Like, their injury reports are more, they should be. For the most part, they're more concise. Where, like, you go to, like European soccer, it's like lower leg injury. Muscle injury. You're like, what muscle? We're not telling you. It's a muscle injury. It's like, is it hamstring? Well, yeah, it could be.
Yeah, like, that's one of the muscles for sure.
We're not telling you. You're like,
that's like in the NFL, it's Nick Bosa is parentheses hip, comma, oblique. What? Those are just, what? Are they torn?
Oh.
Are they bruised?
Yeah.
Are they a little torn? Did he sprain something in there? I don't.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Anyways. Trent Williams, ankle. What about it?
Grade one, grade two, grade three.
Is it fractured? Is it sprained?
Did it fall off? I don't know. Like, I'm confused.
Speaking of the 49ers, here's some playoff scenarios for you. There's the one where they win out and the rest of the division doesn't get to 10-7 and they make the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't think that's realistic. Frankly, I don't think it's realistic that they go 9-8, but here we go. So the Niners need to beat the Rams. We've established that. The Niners play the Rams tonight at Levi's Stadium. Isaac Arendo looks like he's going to play. Nick Bosa is questionable. It looks like Dre Greenlaw is going to return, although his role is TBD. My guess is he is the Sam linebacker. He's on the field for 14 or so plays. Then you have the Cardinals playing the Patriots. Because of the way all these tiebreakers go, The Niners need the Cardinals to win that game. That sounds reasonable, right?
Uh-huh.
Just need the Cardinals to beat the Patriots at home, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. And then what's the last one? The Packers need to beat the Seahawks in Seattle.
That should happen.
I like their chances to do that. Although Seattle's playing a little better lately. I'm really interested in that game. That's a fun Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Packers, Seahawks, got 9-4 against 8-5. Seattle trying to prove themselves as like a legit threat in the NFC and not just a product of being in a terrible division or a very mid division. That'll be a fun one. Also, we got Bills Lions this weekend. I did not realize that until yesterday.
Oh.
Salute to I don't know if Fox or CBS has that game. Salute to whoever has that game.
That's
and keeping
fun.
It.
Fun.
Yeah.
And it's not an evening game?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. That's good.
The 125 start. Yeah, Bucks Chargers is a good game this weekend. Steelers Eagles a good game this weekend. Packers, yeah, a lot of good games this weekend.
Yeah. I'm here for it, Kyle.
Dolphins Texans might be fun.
Dolphins are still hanging in there.
Yeah, just sticking around. So that's what the Niners need this weekend. A Packers win, a Cardinals win, and a 49ers win. That keeps them in it. We go to next week. The Cardinals can beat the Panthers. In fact, you need the Cardinals to beat the Panthers.
Okay.
The Rams to beat the Jets. And the 49ers to beat the Dolphins. And the Vikings to beat the Seahawks.
Well, all that's possible.
All that sounds possible, right?
Okay, so wait, here's a question. Do they have to do the four-way tie? Is that the only way for the 49ers to get in?
Yeah. At least all the ways I've done the three-way tie, they don't.
Oh.
Or two-way tie.
Yeah, they don't. Well, could they get two-way tiebreakers over anyone?
I don't think so.
Even if they beat the Cardinals and even if
they
beat the Rams?
Yeah, because they split their head-to-heads.
Okay.
So it goes to a different tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
Which they're not going to
They're going to lose all those tiebreakers.
That Rams win over the Bills killed the Niners.
Yeah.
Then you go to week 17. You need the Cardinals to beat the Rams.
Okay.
I believe. You need the Cardinals to beat the Rams. The Niners can lose to the Lions. Niners lose to the Lions.
Okay.
On Monday night. That's fine. And then you need the Seahawks to beat the Bears.
Beat the Bears, not lose to the Bears?
Maybe it's lose to the Bears.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
The Bears need to win that one.
This is too complex.
It's a lot.
It's too many things.
So this is it. But this is the point. I'm glad we got here. Because I'm not even going to go to week 18. Because this is the position the 49ers have put themselves in.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
We can go week by week and we can look each week. But I don't even trust them to beat the Rams this week. And if they lose to the Rams this week, they're out.
Okay.
So they not only need to beat LA this weekend, excuse me, tonight.
Yeah.
They need a million other things to go their way.
Okay. And the only other way that this could work out where they actually just outright win the division straight up, the only way that works out is if they beat the Lions. If they went out all of their games, their four games.
Mm-hmm.
They could conceivably win the division still.
Yeah,
there's
everybody
four
else
games left, and they're two games back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they three games back?
Two. Six okay. and seven in the Seahawks are 8-5.
Okay. 6-7, 8-5.
I kind of don't, like, the good news is all of this is just, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, hey, it'd be kind of funny if this happened. But I think this season has been such a mess that whatever wholesale changes they need to make are going to be made, regardless of how the season goes. Even if they back in at 9-8 and then they win a playoff game, let's say they win on wild card weekend, they host the Vikings, and oh, wow, look, they upset the Vikings. The Niners probably would be favored, actually, which would be weird, but they upset the Vikings. I still don't think anybody's looking at this year going, wow, what a success. Like, it's just a failure. It was a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how this thing, if they go on to win the Super Bowl, okay, we'll talk then. I wouldn't bet a nickel on that happening.
No.
So, however this season goes, in let's exist in the real world, however this season realistically ends, is a failure. It's been a mess. And that's mm-hmm. not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But there are changes that need to be made, and I think it's pretty clear. And I think those changes are coming regardless of what happens down the stretch here, whether they lose out or win out or split their Final Four or whatever it is.
Okay.
And that's going to be the important thing, because to me, this is now more about 2025 than 2024. If you can get Nick Bosa back, Nick Bosa feels good enough to play. Okay, yeah, try and make a run, whatever. You owe it to Trent Williams and Kyle Juszczyk and all those dudes. But I'm not betting on it.
No.
Yeah. Also, here's the other thing I'm fascinated to watch tonight. I can't wait to see what happens with Deebo Samuel. After Deebo comes out this week and tweets, not struggling, I'm just not getting the ball, which, like, wrong, but okay. He is struggling in every conceivable facet. Pick a way that Deebo Samuel can be struggling, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
Drops, broken tackles, yards after catch, rushing yards, receiving yards, whatever it is, he's struggling. That's fine. I'm just really interested to see if it's a spam Deebo game where Shanahan's going, all right, you need more opportunities? Fine. Here's 8 carries and 7 targets. Go get it. Go have a Deebo game then. Or is it, hey, Shanahan saw that, Purdy saw that, and went, well, yeah, you're not getting opportunities. He's not very good talk.
Yeah. Well, I think it's on Purdy, it's on Shanahan to do what's best for the team, not what's best for Deebo.
Yeah, especially since he might not be around next year.
Yeah, just straight up. It's on them. Like, if Juwan Jennings gives you a better opportunity in down the seam, then hit Juwan Jennings. If yeah, Deebo Samuel is open and you can find him on a route that can score a touchdown, then give him the ball.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you need to do anything special here. Kittle has been amazing.
Been incredible.
Feed him.
Yep.
Like, as many passes you can throw to Kittle, hit him.
Juwan Jennings.
Hit him.
Cooking.
Hit him.
Isaac Arendo.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Especially out of the backfield, get him the ball.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
What the hell?
So I'm not worried about it. Even, you know, Ricky Pearsall hasn't had a bunch of catches in the last, like, 4 or 5 weeks, right? So,
and he had targets.
Yeah, he hasn't had any targets at all. So, I mean, if someone that gets open, like, just whatever it is that makes your team win, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about somebody's, you know, if he wants to cry about it, he can cry about it on some other team next season. That's it. Like,
bottom line,
just go try to win the game.
I think we'll see maybe, like, a couple of screens for Deebo, like designed touches for him. We might see a screen, maybe 2 if the first one works, and maybe something creative with the run game.
Mm-hmm.
But he just hasn't been good enough to warrant, man, you need to manufacture Deebo touches.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
He had 22 receiving yards as his highest output in his last 3 weeks.
Oof.
Like, he's not getting targets because he's not open. When he's open, okay, great. Yeah, he can still run a little bit. It's not like he lost his speed. He just doesn't break tackles anymore.
Mm.
And I'm with you, man. You have other players who are playing way too well to go, hey, we need to placate Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
Like, nah, man. If you can't get with the program, sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, man.
So interested to watch that tonight, because historically, Deebo's had some good games against the Rams. Also, speaking of wide receivers going up against each other, did you know, I did not know this until I read it at theramswire.com. Salute to my guy, Cam DeSilva. He does a great job. I did not realize that Cooper Kupp has not played in a game where the Rams have beat the 49ers since 2017.
Well, that's a long time. 7 years.
Yeah. And it was a while. There was a while there where the Rams just couldn't beat the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
But last year, week 17, week 18, Cooper Kupp didn't play. This year, week 3, Cooper Kupp was out.
Mm.
And then a bunch of years before that, the 49ers hadn't, I should say, a regular season game. Cooper Kupp most definitely played in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
He killed the 49ers in that one. Yeah, hasn't won a regular season game against San Francisco since 2017.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Anyways, I didn't even realize that. It makes sense when you think about it, but just seeing it written down was nuts. All right. Keys to a Kings victory. How do they knock off the dreadful New Orleans Pelicans tonight? We'll talk about that. And we will have Mad Props. Jesse Tapia will be in the building. We have a Kings game tonight and a 49ers game tonight, which makes Mad Props nice and easy. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. You can play along on Mad Props as well. It's coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. All right, Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. He's James. I'm Kyle. The Kings play the Pelicans tonight. We'll have keys to victory here for you in a second, but I need to rant very quickly before we get into our Kings keys to victory, and it has nothing to do with tonight's game, but that's fine. This whole LeBron to Sacramento thing,
mm-hmm.
can we stop?
Oh, I never started, Kyle.
So here's, if you missed it, an anonymous NBA executive who could be anyone. That could be literally any person
mm-hmm.
who works in a front office. In an interview with Steve Bulpet, who's a person I just learned about right now, on something called Heavy Sports, the anonymous NBA executive said, quote, "The one place that I don't hear a lot of talk about with LeBron is Sacramento. Mm-hmm. He could change them, and they might have the kind of assets to make a trade work. They have a lot of young talent, and because they're a small market, they haven't spent like drunken sailors. They have some draft picks and young talent. If they could get to the salary, LeBron would take Fox and Sabonis and elevate the hell out of them, particularly Fox. With that threesome, those guys would be a force." Breaking news. NBA executive thinks LeBron James would make team better.
Wow.
Thank you, anonymous NBA executive. You've changed my life.
I don't even want to get into any of the salary cap issues or anything else. I don't.
It's
not worth my time.
And this anonymous exec going, yeah, they got young talent, they got assets, they haven't spent, like, dude, what? If they can get to the dollars, you're going to say this and you haven't figured out how to get to the dollars? You haven't taken that into account?
I mean,
anytime you can turn a team into the Lakers, you do it.
Yeah. I mean, he has a player option for next year.
Sure, man.
At 52, but 48.7, okay, you get there after January 15th, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Kevin Herter.
And then they're going to want picks.
And two picks.
But that they're going to want more than that.
Probably.
Like, it...
No, I mean, like, okay.
I haven't heard a lot about that. Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, like, that's just not going to happen. Like, that's not going to happen. And if it does happen, okay. Like, I'll be there game one going, huh.
Sure.
I can't believe it happened.
Yeah, never say never, but come on.
Yeah.
It's not. I just want to be clear. If somebody just hears like, oh, LeBron in Sacramento, this is an anonymous NBA exec doing fantasy basketball.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what it sounds like.
If our guy Sam Amick or Shams Charania or somebody comes out and goes, yeah, hey, LeBron wants to play in Sacramento. Okay, great. Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But anonymous NBA exec saying, man, he'd be really nice alongside Fox and Sabonis. Yeah, he would. No doubt. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But come on.
We're not going to play in that sort of like fan fiction stuff.
I'm sorry. Like if there was a substantial report about it, then let's dive in. But anonymous exec thinking that Fox and Sabonis would benefit from playing alongside LeBron James. Okay, yeah.
I agree.
I totally agree.
I'm not doing the fake Luka trades to the Kings. I'm not doing Giannis Antetokounmpo fake trades to the Kings. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like
we won't even do Herb Jones fake trades.
Like even the Herb Jones is like, okay, like why do they trade Herb Jones? You tell me why they're going to trade Herb Jones, and like Herb Jones is cheap enough that he and young enough that he can go through an entire switch out here and still be a very, very good player on a very good contract at a perfect age to continue to build a team.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me why they would give him up.
If reports come out that they're shopping Herb Jones, then let's dive all the way in.
Yep. Let's go.
Down with fantasy basketball in the fantasy basketball context.
That's right.
All right. Want to do Kings do a keys victory against Herb Jones and the Pelicans?
That's right. Let's do it.
All right. Key number one, James Hamm.
Payback. This team went 6-0 against you last season.
Boy.
if you don't have a chip on your shoulder walking into this game, then I need to question your competitive spirit.
Yep.
Straight up.
That's it.
Competitive spirit. Who are you as a player? If you don't, like, I don't play board games to lose. Like,
yeah.
If you're not walking into this game ready to run this team over after what happened, this is a team that put you out of the play-in tournament and did not let you into the playoffs.
Yep.
It's the team that beat you, that put you into a situation where you had to be in the play-in. This is a team that mollywopped you six times, crushed you.
Yep.
They're beat up. Go out there and show them what it feels like to lose a game.
Mike Brown said De'Aaron Fox needs to find a thing every game that makes him angry.
Yep.
The Pelicans should. All of the Kings players.
You just look across, you see Pelicans or you see New Orleans, you should be angry.
Or Crescent City.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I don't know. While you're sitting there eating gumbo in New Orleans, you should be angry the whole time. I am angry right now. I'm going to go get a beignet, but I am angry.
I'm not happy about this beignet. I'm going to
angry eat this beignet.
No, it's delicious. All right. Number one for me, along those same lines, you got to get out to a fast start tonight. Put them away early, man. And it goes to what you're saying. Come in pissed off and show it from the opening tip.
I agree 100%. This is a team that is teetering, and you just need to put them away early. And if you do that, it should be easy sailing.
Leads us to number two.
Drop another 140.
Eh.
This team can't defend and they can't score.
Makes it tough to win games.
They're like 28th in offense, 29th in defensive rating. They're getting outscored by their opponents by like ridiculous numbers. There's a team out there that's worse. They're called the Washington Wizards. But outside of that, no, this is the worst team in the league. And it's a lot because of injury. But those injuries are still there. And they are not going to be able to just magically become a good team. There is not going to be like a Willie Green moment where, you know, he's crying and getting this team right back in the playoffs. This is a bad team this season.
Yep. I have nothing to add.
Punish them.
Except for this. Here's how you get to 140 is my second key. Move the ball.
Oh.
When the Kings, under Mike Brown, when the Kings have 30 plus assists, they are 52-11. And that's a lot of teams. When you get to 30 assists, you're going to win a lot of your games.
Yep.
But when they have 29 or fewer assists under Mike Brown, they are 54-72.
Mm.
29 or less, they are 54-72. 30 or more, 52-11. The Pelicans are the kind of team that you can start stacking up assists. Move the ball, run them out of the gym.
Yeah, they don't even have a real bench to work with. So, like, when they go to their bench, just crush them.
Yes.
Like, get them in rotations. Yep. Just crush them. There is no reason to let this team hang around.
Nope. Number three.
Kick a team when they're down. Like, straight up. Like,
beat a dead horse.
Have that instinct in you that says, they're not good. I am going to run them over and let's play. Like, starters should be looking at this going, I want to play 28 minutes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play 28 minutes because I want to leave the game at the end of the third quarter with us up 35.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's get there. Last one for me. Don't trade 2 for 3 in this game. Here's some notes about the Pelicans. They are 30th in the league in made threes. They are 28th in three-point attempt rate. So the percentage of their shots that are three-pointers, they are 28th.
Okay.
They're 26th in three-point percentage. I know some of those numbers are probably depressed a little bit because Herb Jones and Trey Murphy were out for so long. But they even still, they're not a team that puts up a ton of threes. And you shouldn't be losing the three-point line in this one.
No, if you lose the three-point line, it's because you let CJ McCollum turn into prime CJ and made a mistake.
Do whatever you can. If somebody gets hot from three, shift everything you're doing defensively to shut that player down.
Shut off the faucet.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't care if they get a couple of layups because of it.
Yeah, they're not good at 3-point percentage. They're also
26.
You know, they take they're number 5 in 2-point attempts on the season.
Mm-hmm.
They're number 28 in 2-point field goal percentage. They're not good
oh my
at
God.
They shoot a lot of two-pointers.
And don't make many of them.
And they don't. They shoot 50.3%. And they give up 57.3%. They allow 7% better. You go to the Kings on that same exact stat. Same stat for the Kings. The Kings are right now so much better. The Kings' two-point field goal percentage, 57.7% two-point field goal. They're third in the league in two-point field goal percentage.
My God.
And they're 10th in attempts. They're 10th in attempts. They're third in three-point and two-point field goal makes. Yeah, just run this team off, like, out of the gym.
Sass in the chatty house asked, how many are the Kings losing by tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think they're losing tonight. I think they win 127-101.
Yeah, I'm going to go 134-95.
I like it.
I'm literally predicting a 41-point blowout again.
I don't need... if you get there, awesome. I don't even need that. Just blow them out a little. And don't let it be close.
What
don't,
I want to see,
be
Kyle,
in the same,
plant a Sacramento Kings flag at half court.
Yeah, hell yeah. Do that.
Do that. It might be a felony in some states, but it's not in New Orleans.
There are no Louisiana. Laws in Louisiana. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Kings play the Pelicans tonight. Want to remind you that we will be back tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon on ESPN 1320, where the Insider is sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we'll be breaking down that Kings-Pelicans game right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports. Later. Oh, nope. There we go. All right. It's hard to push buttons and do this show all at one time.
I got it.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We got mad props to Jesse Tapia coming up. But first, we've got our guy Don on the line. Don, you're live on the Insiders. What's up? Don, hello.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Kyle, hey, my bad, man. Y'all, what's up with it?
Hey, what's up? TC?
Hey, look, yeah, what's up, bro? Hey, so look. The whole LeBron talk, bro, is crazy. I'm not even going to get into that. I was going to try to talk about that, bro, but as soon as you started talking Kyle and him, I said, you know what? I'm not even going to go down that route, bro.
My man. Appreciate you.
That's right.
Appreciate you. The Niners winning tonight?
Talk about them, Kyle, him. But the Kings win tonight, bro. They need to get that big win tonight for sure, for sure. We need to steamroll these dudes and show them really just for our mental and our psyche. And then we can think about last year, smashing them and all that, but we got to beat this team, blow them out for our psyche. You get me?
Yeah.
So,
no
that's
doubt.
All I got. Go ahead. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a good day.
Appreciate the call, TC. Thanks, man. Yeah, man. The LeBron thing's silly. That's all.
I'm not going there, Kyle.
I won't either.
I don't want to know.
Jesse, you want to go there? Jesse Tapia is here for the handoff. You're up. What's up?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm good off LeBron. Let the Lakers deal with that.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No. All right. You know what we do need?
Mad props.
Yeah, we sure do.
It's time for mad props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's mad props.
All right, I don't like doing mad props when there's all the injury questions, but at least it sounds like Isaac Garendo is going to play, so I'm going to change one of these on the fly. If that's okay with you guys.
I'm here for it.
Yes.
Is it?
It's not like I really have a choice here, so.
I mean, I guess that's true.
Kyle's cheating, Jesse.
No, I'm not cheating. I'm not cheating.
It's the end of the season, damn near, and you're pulling this still.
All right. Doing this on the fly, this may be a bad one, but let's see. All right, I feel good about this. I feel good about this one. All right, number one. We finally have a number six, but we'll start with number one, and we'll start with our guest, Jesse Tapia, who produces D'Lo and KC, which is the show that is coming up at noon, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. Jesse Tapia, number one. We're going with George Kittle receptions tonight against the Rams or Keegan Murray three-point attempts tonight against the Pelicans.
George Kittle receptions. I'm going to go George Kittle receptions on that one.
All right, James.
I'm with Jesse here. I'm going to go Kittle.
Not going to let Keegan Murray burn me again. No chance.
That's, I think, where I'm at. I really think that this is a game where you might see Keegan Murray because the Kings are up a bunch and they're running, balls moving, and you see Keegan just have one of those games where he puts up like 10 threes.
Oh.
But I've been waiting for that for 6 weeks.
Keegan could put up like 8 threes tonight, but he also could put up 5 shots total.
Right. And that's what I am more inclined to believe, that we're going to get a game where Fox and Sabonis and everyone else cooks. And then you look at the, you go, man, the Kings scored 138 points. What'd Keegan do? 2 of 8.
5 points.
1 of 4 from three. Like, all right. That's fine.
I would like to see them feature him and let him get going against a bad team. But,
I would too.
But the only thing I care about if I'm the Kings is winning the game.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yep. Right now.
Straight
up. And I can't, like, you just can't rely on Keegan to have that breakout game at this point. Mm-hmm. If he does, awesome. I'm not banking on it. James, number two. Brock Purdy pass attempts or De'Aaron Fox points, rebounds, and assists?
Oh. I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox points, rebounds, assists. This is where De'Aaron Fox was born. He does have a lot of family in New Orleans. He does not buy those family members tickets because he doesn't do that. But
that's so funny.
This is like one of those places where he does like to perform well, and he looks at it sort of a home crowd. But yeah,
that's the move, man. Just like, hey, nobody's getting tickets. You want to come watch? You can pay.
Hey.
Exactly. Nobody can be mad because they didn't get tickets or whatever.
Players don't get free tickets. I don't know if people know that. It comes out of their paycheck.
Yeah.
You can go, I want 50 tickets.
Yeah.
And all right, you're paying for 50 tickets.
They do get an allotment, but it's something like two tickets or four tickets. And then they can ask their friends in the locker room, can I get a couple of tickets?
Yeah.
But overall, it's not. Yeah.
And it's the Pelicans. What? You don't have $3 under the couch?
Great point. Brock Purdy pass attempts or De'Aaron Fox points, rebounds, assists?
I'm going to go Fox. I feel like that total number is going to be around like 38, 39.
Yeah, I think Purdy's going to throw it a lot tonight, because even if Garrendo plays, I don't know how healthy he is, and I don't think they want to lean on Patrick Taylor that much. So we might see Purdy put it in the air 34, 35 times, but De'Aaron might have 35 points by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jesse, 49ers total points or DeMar DeRozan total points?
This one's the 49ers. I think they're gonna fight. Season's on the line today. They're gonna fight. I think they'll put up a decent amount of points today. I'm feeling 25 to 30, I think.
Okay.
I think it'll be a shootout with the Rams, and I think we're looking at 35.
Yeah, I feel like the Rams are definitely putting up points. If the 49ers are gonna wanna keep pace, like, you're just gonna have to just go toe-to-toe with them.
Plus, I'm leading in mad props, so I'm just going to match every one of Jesse's answers just to burn
him. Okay, we'll just do James first the rest of the way. I'm going DeMar. I think the Pelicans have some good defenders. I don't think they have the type of defender that can really hang with DeMar DeRozan in the mid-post.
Makes sense.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going DeRozan points. James Hamm. Debo Samuel touches or Kevin Herter field goal attempts?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Kevin Herter field goal attempts. I think he's probably going to have 12, and I don't think Debo can get there.
Yep.
All right, this is not a bit, but I'm going Kevin Herter, too. I don't like Debo Samuel doing the whole tweeting thing while the team's fighting for their season life and all that. It doesn't work that way where Debo's going to get force-fed now. Like, no, we just... Debo, I'm sorry. Just deal with it. We're trying to win, keep our season alive. So I don't think anything's going to change.
What if I said Kevin Herter field goal makes?
Oh. I still have a tough time.
Give me Debo Samuel touches. 5 touches, 6 touches right there, I guess.
I had 6 in my head. That's his average for the season.
I'd go Debo Samuel on that.
Yeah, I could see Kevin still getting like 7 makes.
Yeah.
So that's a good question.
All right. James Hamm, Ricky Pearsall targets or Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts?
Dang, I know Pearsall's way down. He had a good week of practice last week, but that didn't equate to a bunch of targets. I'm going to go Sabonis. Sabonis okay. threes.
Jesse?
I will go Ricky Pearsall.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah, I think Sabonis maybe get 2 threes at most, maybe 1.
We both like Yves Miesi a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he
Pelican
wants...
center.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants smoke with Sabonis. I don't think Sabonis is going to have to do a ton of hanging around the three-point line.
I think drawing him away from the basket, though, might be a thing.
Might be a 0-0 thing. No, they got to give Ricky Pearsall another target.
Okay.
You got to get him involved a little.
Make sure you get Juwan Jennings involved, though.
Yeah, that's big time. Yeah. That's big time for sure.
Just for the sake of my fantasy team. It's week one of the playoffs.
Last one, James. Isaac Arendo rushing yards or King's first half total points?
Oh, I'm going Kings because I'm not sure Garendo's going to be able to hold up, and I think the Kings are going to put up 65 in the first half.
Okay.
We're going Garendo total rushing yards and King's first half points?
Yes.
I'll go Garendo. I mean, just the fact that he's playing makes me feel like he's feeling all right, and you throw me, Kyle Madsen, or even James Hamm back there, and you can probably rush for 80 yards.
That's where I'm leaning. Like, it's about the ceiling for me on these, and 80 was actually about kind of the, like, because I think the Kings are going to score a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like 70 to 80, I think is 80 is a lot. 70 is like on the table for the Kings in this first half.
Yep.
And Garendo, though, could go for 120.
Yeah, because I don't think Garendo's the top player where it's all like, yeah, we're going to decoy you or whatever. It's like, no, nah, he's playing or he's not. Just hit someone else in there.
If he breaks one long one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
That's mad props.
All right.
Yeah, but if he's banged up and he only has 8 carries in the first half, or 8 carries in the game or whatever. All right, that's mad props. I'll send you guys a screenshot so you can go over them tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I'm out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not to brag. I'm going to Arizona.
There you go.
We did not spend a lot of time on the LeBron thing because I just don't.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. And
if you want to, like, okay, because if you want to, we don't have the time to, frankly, but if you want to logistically go, okay, what does it look like basketball-wise? Let's just talk about it. Okay, well, first you got to remove all the dudes who are going in that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into what does the basketball look like with LeBron and Domas and De'Aaron Fox.
Well, that it's a lot of dudes that have to leave.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah. Like,
just to get up, I mean, his salary's $49 million. And
if he asks out, they're going to want good players.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get to $41-42 million just because of the hard cap. So you don't have that much room to play with here.
So you're not even factoring in luxury tax here. You're just doing the hard cap.
Oh, no, you definitely would go on a luxury tax, most likely. But if not, you're going to have to give up, like, you're going to have to get to that number or close to it. I mean, probably 42, 43 million to avoid. It's probably 43.
Yikes, man.
Just to get to stay under the hard cap. And the other problem you have there is you're probably going to have to give up more because you're going to need to sign players afterwards.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. Are you guys talking about that on D-Lo and KC today?
No, I'm actually looking at the rundown. It's not in there. Are you guys starting the show? Damien's out Christmas caroling. I don't know if KC's here.
I saw Damien.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, Damien pulled up.
Okay.
All right.
We're good.
Very good.
I was looking. Billing's pretty empty. Yeah, everyone out Christmas caroling this morning.
I saw Damien sauntering along.
All right, we're good then.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Must be Christmas. I mean, lunch coming soon.
Yeah, coming.
These guys tomorrow, Jesse and James, you guys are here. I'm gone. I'll be back Tuesday, but the Insiders are back tomorrow, 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye!